All right, good morning, everybody. Pleasure, as some of you would say. So we have been in our, it's a little bit of a spoiler for the Chovos here, but we have been, blessed in our afternoon Chovos class, we've been in Shar Bitachon, and I wanted to, as opposed to the details that we've been doing in the gate, I wanted to say two things, two general points, critical, massively critical points about Bitachon through the eyes of the Chovos Levavos, of course, that are, you know, if you only took this away from the Chovos' whole approach to Bitachon, this would be pretty good for everyone, which is number one. I have a theory in this book, some of you are aware, that really there's only three, that the three first gates of this book are really everything, right? And the first three gates just repeat themselves in varying forms. All of the gates, all the other seven are linked to the original three. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with the system of the Chovos, the three gates are, number one, we have Shar Yichud, which is a recognition of the existence of Hashem, and what that means, that there's a God. Number two is Shar Bechina, then I'm exploring this thing, right? I'm exploring this existence that is the creation of Hashem, and seeing what is it that Hashem's been doing, what has he been up to. And then number three, Shar Avodas Elokim, is now I feel the need to, coming to the conclusion that Hashem has done a tremendous amount for me, that I'm a tremendous, I'm the beneficiary of all of this incredibleness that's taking place. Number three is now, how do I react? How do I say thank you in a way that's meaningful? That's Avodas Elokim. And that three-step process really is, there isn't room for anything else to take place, if you think about it. That's all that could possibly happen in your life. So the rest of these gates are all going to mirror one of those steps. So Shar Bitachon goes together with Shar Bechina. Okay? Shar Bitachon, the big question people have, whether they realize it or not, is where is Bitachon meant to come from? Okay? What is the source, so to speak, of Bitachon in a person? For most people who are undeveloped, who have not really done any work in this area, Bitachon comes from a general kind of optimism or wishful thinking, right? Where people who are more pessimistic have issues with Bitachon, and people more optimistic, they feel better about Bitachon. Again, defining Bitachon for them is some kind of sense that things are going to turn out okay. Right? So it depends on your personality. I'm not so optimistic, so I would have some Bitachon issues. But that, of course, is woefully inaccurate in all kinds of ways. Rabbi Leventhal gave a few shiurim on Bitachon and its definition, which were quite good, if you were not there. But the way the Chovos approaches Bitachon is he doesn't refer to Bitachon as something, as a tool or as a thing. He does advertise for it a little bit, but he also says that it's a chiyuv. The Chovos says that Bitachon is obligatory, right? It's a chiyuv, but not a chiyuv in the sense of, if you don't do Bitachon, we're going to punish you, but rather a chiyuv in the sense of, based on what's come before, based on what's happened up until now, it's the obligatory next step, right? So for example, like you tell someone that they have to say thank you for something, right? Schaefer goes and gets, makes you Jacobson, whatever it is that you like over there, right? Buys him a beer. So Moshe Jacobson is obligated to say thank you. Why? Because Schaefer's gonna punch him in the face. He doesn't say thank you. No, it's not about Schaefer punishing him or rewarding him for saying thank you. It's that the fact that Schaefer gave him a beer obligates Moshe Jacobson to say thank you. What came prior to now produces the next thing. There's a cause and effect chiyuv relationship that's taking place, not about what's coming now, but about what already happened. So the Chovos says the same thing about Bitachon. What happened up till now in your life obligates Bitachon from now, okay? That's the cause and effect relationship. Not Bitachon being a mitzvah that's going to lead to good or bad. Not that that's not true, but that's not the chiyuv that he's talking about. But rather, paying attention to what's been going on up until now obligates Bitachon on my part. Just like you providing me with things would have obligated a thank you, the nature of what's been going on up until now obligates Bitachon. So what does he mean? This is what I mean, that Shara Bechina and Shara Bitachon really go together. Shara Bitachon is just the natural reaction, the logical reaction to the work that you've done in Shara Bechina. So let's just analyze that for a second. Shara Bechina was super excited. Everybody loves Shara Bechina. Everybody skips the first gate, right? Because it's heresy, apparently. And they go right to the second gate, which is super happy, fun time. Ooh, talk about how everything's good and learning how to appreciate things and not take things for granted. It's great, right? That's where people like to start with the chavos, selected selections, chavos edited, the heavily edited chavos of nowadays. So, but if you follow his thing there, what he's doing is he's in his exploration of our experience and our existence here in this world, the theme that comes out is that there's a tremendous amount of good stuff happening that I am enjoying very much. And primarily I'm enjoying the fact that I'm having an existence, right? The primary and most basic and most fundamental gift that has happened, the most significant element of my experience is that I'm having an experience. Everything else that goes on is gonna just be commentary on that. It's gonna be different types of experience. But the fact that I get to have an experience, that I'm alive and conscious in some way and aware of what it is that's going on, nothing's really ever gonna top that, right? The Yemani Kana Kolkan Gemaras, once there's Das involved, that's it. Everything else is just, those are just subcategories and different types of experience to have, be them positive or negative. Okay, we're not gonna have that whole conversation now, but all experience is better than no experience, okay? And I know you're gonna bring me the people with the chronic pain who are physician-assisted suicide. Okay, no, good cautious. But the regular Joe, the average Joe. Ooh, before I forget, this year actually needs to be Lili Nishmas. I did forget, my apologies. Nissen Ben Shalom Tzvi is the father of a dear friend of the yeshiva, Mrs. Marcus. Should have an Elias, this is Yartej, should have Elias Neshama. So that if you go back to Shara Bechina, the Chovo says that this is so overwhelming. There's no way to explain. How are you going to explain this? Okay, just look around your little plastic bubble over there in the yeshiva. Okay, look around at the other people, at yourself, at your day. You guys all had breakfast. It's going to snow later. Mizrat Hashem. Look at this incredible thing. How are you going to explain it? How are you going to explain this whole experience that you get to have? What's your pshat in what's going on? Okay, did you ask for any of this? Maybe a few elements of it you thought to ask about. Almost 99% of it, you didn't even think to ask for such a thing. You're not even appreciating the majority of what it is that's going on. And certainly none of us would be insane enough to think for a second that I paid for this. How much would this cost? Just the one scene that you guys are in right now. Just this thing that's happening now. Everybody's sitting around staring at the TV, right? All this is with friends and learning and ideas and all your hopes and dreams and plans for the future and memories and things and laughter and music and so on and so forth. How much does that cost? Does anybody have that kind of money? No, you do not. Right? Can you claim that what I've done up until now, I've somehow paid my way, I made my own way, I somehow earned these things? No one's insane enough to think such a thing. There's no way, there's no dollar sign to put on there. There's no price tag. What could I possibly do that would make that commensurate with this? I'm talking about an eternity of existence, an incredible existence, depth and complexity and what do you call it? For what? What could I possibly do that would balance that out? Nothing. So how do you describe that? What words do we have to describe that kind of interaction where someone has provided for me something that I couldn't possibly have earned or ever earn above and beyond anything I even could have dreamed? You know how much universe Hashem created for us? Shocking amounts of universe, guys. Okay, there's you could ask your local scientist. There's a shocking amount of universe out there. They're not even sure how much of it there is, but it's really a lot. Like, you'd be surprised. A tremendous amount. Unnecessary, copious amounts of universe were created by Hashem for us. So how do you describe that? So we have a word called love that we use for that. Does Hashem love us? We're going to have to be a little bit mature here, guys, and say that I don't know the answer to that question because I'm wary of saying things about Hashem. But he certainly acts like he does. Okay, that I could tell you, right? And that's pretty much my summary of Shara Yichud in a nutshell. Okay, does Hashem love us? I don't know. Okay, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that sentence, but he certainly acts like he does. I don't have another word to describe Hashem's interaction with us that fits. besides love. That much I could tell you. Okay, and that's the punchline of Shaar Bechina. So now you want to start talking to me about what's going to be now, right? If you turned around, ignore the future for a second. Turn around and look at what's happened up until now. Okay, look at your life from the fact that you have a life and then all the details therein. Go through Shaar Bechina where he talks about your existence as a fetus and birth and so on and so forth, all of the developmental stages and the fact that there's an economy and things. And go through his whole pages and pages and pages of incredible things that are happening in the universe that you're benefiting from. And now ask me again, what's going to happen now? Okay? And now let's turn back towards the future and let's think about how we're supposed to relate to it. Okay? The Chova says this interaction, that's there's a chiyuv there. There's a cause and effect. If you've done your work in appreciating what's been going on up until now, there's not going to be an issue for you moving forward. Because it's obvious, it's obligatory in the sense that there's no other response that makes any sense. Look, he says Shaar Bechina, it's so overwhelmingly obvious that Hashem's taking care of us that the only work he wants you to do in the beginning of Shaar Bechina is work with you. All we got to do is figure out what's wrong with you. That's it. His whole psicha there in Shaar Bechina is let's figure out how come you're not appreciating what's going on. There's no issue of like a training ground or whatever to find the good. You don't have to find it. It's Tev Hashem Lakol, Chesed Hashem Yisrael Bevenu. He puts all these psukim and it's Pashut. It's Pashut. Every day, every time you wake up, it's it. It's over. Just that particular event should be enough. The only question we have is how come it's not? What am I busy thinking about that this is not happening? All the avodah is just to get me with the program of what's happening. But once I do, if I did, Once I do that work and now I'm aware, so now you want to talk to me about how I'm going to pay the rent? You want to talk to me about this particular issue of refuah or panasa or current events or whatever it is that you're thinking about? Bitachon-wise, come on, man. What's been happening up until now? Okay, the story doesn't start now. This is just another step in a very long story of Hashem taking care of me. What's going to happen? Again, I don't know. I know by 11th false shiurim. Do I know it's going to be the thing that I would want to have happen? Not necessarily. Okay, but do I know I'm being taken care of? Absolutely. Do I know I'm in the hands of someone who at least behaves like they love me? Of course I am. I don't have another way to explain my life up until now. I really don't. If you had a different explanation for my life up until now, I'd be ready to get nervous with you. But since you don't, and I don't, so now what? So whatever's going to come soon is exactly what was happening up until now. What do you think you got? Think about the insanity of these things. You think you got to the moment. Right now is the moment where it's going to change, guys. Hashem's been taking care of you in your lives up until now. But this next thing you're thinking about, ooh, that's the one where he's going to abandon you and everything's going to go bad. Right? It's lunacy. You could have said that at any point in your life, but it's pashut not true. Unless you can demonstrate why something has changed, nothing has changed. And therefore, bitachon is just the obligatory in the sense of being the logical next step or the logical it corresponds to my appreciation of what's been going on up until now. But to the extent that you have no appreciation of what you've been doing up until now, okay, to the extent that you are not relating to your life and your experience and your existence as an act of love on God's part, so then of course you're nervous about the future because no one's taking care of you. Those two things are tmilsa, this link between Bechina and Bitachon it's clear once you say it out that way, okay? And that's the psychological rationale of the thing. Now, it's fascinating to me that in the pop psychology and neurological science world, so they have worked out, again, I don't know how true this is, but from what I've seen, that anxiety and gratitude are mutually exclusive neurological states. I mean, your brain can't do both at the same time, right? People, great gratitude, I don't know if it's just a correlation or if there's actually any causation there, but being anxious and being feeling grateful for things don't go together. You can't do both at the same time with your brain. Your brain's not built to do both at the same time. So the way that we're describing it here in the Chovos, that's the Bechina Bitachon link. To the extent that you're in Shaar Bechina and you have an appreciation for what's happened up until now, there's not going to be anxiety about the future, quite naturally. But on the flip side, to the extent that you're unappreciative and there's no gratitude, so then of course you're nervous, right? All kinds of horrible things happen out there, guys. World's a scary place, right? But that's the result here in the fourth gate of Shaar Bitachon is really a product of the work you did in the second gate. That's the first point I wanted to make that we've made before. Good to review. The second point is a new point, which is as follows. So first of all, we just said that there's no question that bitachon is not a good idea. It's not a fantastic tool. It's not a way to enhance your life and make things better and tachshov tov, tiyeh tov, and all this other interesting theories that people have nowadays. Right? It's just the natural consequence of an honest appraisal of what my life has been like up until now, okay? And the fact that I've had a life up until now altogether. But a second point is that all of us are already exercising bitachon in way bigger areas than the one that you're asking about. In other words, where does bitachon show up? When is it a struggle for people? Right? For the most part, money, right? For the money, health, kids, things. I did the 40 days at the Kotel davening thing for many years. I was zeicher to do that in the old city there. And if you go through, you can ask, Rabbi Michael's also done it in the past. You can ask him about what do people daven for? I don't know how many people Rabbi Michael's daven for. I assume like tens of thousands at this point. Okay, but you could boil down 90-something percent of those tefillahs. It's health, money, and family, right? That's basically, right? There's random, there's like a miscellaneous category, but the rest of it is, it's parnasa and refuah and either my wife or my kids, okay? I'm trying to get married, have kids, or deal with my kids, or deal with my marriage. One of the, something like that, right? Those are what's up. So that's where bitachon shows up. So those areas are great. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Parnas is important and refuah is very important. I'm on board getting married or keeping your marriage, having kids, keeping your kids. All that's good stuff. I'm on board. But that's nothing compared to areas that you already have bitachon. You're already exercising bitachon, maybe without realizing it, in much bigger questions. AKA says the Chovos Levavos, and this is something I've not really seen people talk about so much, which is one of the things I like about the Chovos' approach, which is, how about the fact this whole Torah thing? All of you guys believe, from the fact that you're sitting in that room staring at my digitalized face right now, all of you believe that your actions, right? You guys are going to put effort towards doing the right thing and avoid doing the wrong thing, and there's going to be consequences for those things in some thing that you refer to as the next world, okay? That after you're dead, there's going to be consequences, both good and bad, for your choices that you're making now today, okay? You guys all are on board with that idea, that you're going to do the right thing. No one's watching. And when you're dead and in the ground, you're going to go someplace else. And there's going to be prizes, or however you want to look at it. Good stuff's going to take place, which we don't have any descriptions of really in any of the Tanakhi stuff. No one knows what it is, but it's going to be awesome if you did the right thing and not so awesome if you didn't do the right thing, okay? And what guarantee do you have that that's going to happen? How do you know that there's going to be any corresponding reward or punishment or anything? All you know is that Hashem said so, that's it. All you have is that Hashem's promise that there's such a thing called Schar Va'onesh, Gan Eden and Ganem this, da, 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 the whole description. That's it. You guys have a tremendous amount of bitachon already in areas that are much, much more critical and much bigger than your little parnasa health. What, not to downplay parnasa and health, people that are poor and suffering, health, it's a big deal, but it's a this world big deal. Okay, that's an Olam Haza big deal. And it is a big deal because this is our world. But you already are exercising bitachon daily when it comes to things that are endless, infinite in size, endless, eternity. You're already trusting that these things make a difference, that I'm going to do a mitzvah and it's going to matter, that Hashem is going to pay me. So again, I'm using the words, but this is the words that they use. And to pay me for mitzvahs that I do and punish me for avers that I do, that is a tremendous amount of bitachon in a much bigger question. And I love this because people don't think about this as bitachon, right? You think of that as like some kind of logical system, right? There's like a rational set. Of course, I do work and I get paid. Of course, it makes sense. It doesn't make any sense. Who are you going to force Hashem to pay you? What are you going to do? You're dead. You're going to be dead. But I did so much work. Like, yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, I had my own. What are you going to do? Who are you going to talk to the manager? You want to please? Let me get the manager out here. I paid for my, I don't know. Good luck. Good luck. There's no manager. Hashem just does whatever he wants. You're just trusting that Hashem's going to be a nice guy like he said he is. That's all. It's just trust that Hashem's going to take care of you then like he said he would. That's all you got. And so what about now? Why is now any different? So all day long, every mitzvah, all your Torah, all your tefillah, all your everything is just built around this idea that you trust Hashem to take care of you like he said he would. But guess what? He said he'd take care of you now also. So what's going on now? How come now for the next however many years, there you're having issues, but your whole day is built around the fact that you have no issues with him taking care of you after you're dead? Okay, make up your mind. Is he trustworthy or no? Right? Every time you make, you can link this to your Shmona Esrei. I don't want to stay too late, but if you're, every time you say the bracha of Machai Amesim, think about it. That Hashem's the Machai Amesim, that's just bitachon, guys. That's just you. Hashem promised, and you are trusting he's going to come through. There's nothing you can do about being dead, okay? Because you're dead. There's no hope for you in the ground to get anything going. No grassroots movements, no letters to your congressman, no phone calls to the president, nothing. The only way you're getting out of the ground is if Hashem does what he promised to do. And all of you right now and your whole day and every day of your religious life have been trusting that he's going to do that. So, okay, so enough. So now you're worried about the next year. You're worried about shiduchim and parnose and da, 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 da. Get over yourself. From both points we said, just summarize quickly. Number one, what has been happening to you up until now? He hasn't been taking care of you. Right? You remember the whole fetus thing where you were formed out of a single cell into this whole complex thing and then somehow made it to here, right? And along the way, there were some roller coasters and marshmallows and good music and laughter and friends and so on and so forth. I know every Rabbi Green song ever made. Okay, that happened. Well, it's going to stop now? Now Hashem's done? Oh, just till now. Just till you get married, then you're on your own, right? That's the nonsense. And number two, right after this next period of time, between you guys are what, like 20, the next 100 years, after that for eternity, you're fully trusting that he's going to do what he promised. So up until now, he's taking care of you, and there's been nothing but love, and you're trusting that once you're in the ground, he's going to be taking care of you again, because there's certainly nothing you can do about that. You're building your whole life around that particular promise. But from now till then, just this little period of now till ground, that's you're concerned about? Stop. Enough already. Okay, use the two bookends of what you already believe and what you already see and know, and just delete the whole middle section. Why should this middle section be any different? From conception till now, you've been taken care of. When you're in the ground, you already have built your life around the premise that you're going to be taken care of. I promise you, between now and then, you're going to be taken care of as well. Okay, and now bitachon doesn't become a good idea or a fantastic concept or a way to reduce anxiety and stress and so on and so forth. Bitachon now becomes 100%. There's nothing else to make. It's nonsense not to have bitachon now. At this point, it's intellectually dishonest and absolutely nonsensical to lack bitachon at this point, after those points have been made clear. All right? Shkolech, everybody. Should have a good morning. It was nice to see everyone.